and he can see no reasons, cause there are no reasons. What reason do you need to be shown?
Back to the Rick Smith Show. Check out the website, thericksmithshow.com. Oh, going back to the 80s, Boomtown Rats, Bob Geldof. And the thing that gets me is that song is about a mass shooting. And, you know, they've been happening since then, and we did something back then. You had the assault weapons ban. You had us moving in a direction that maybe we don't want, you know, people to have guns who have some mental problems. Maybe we should be doing something. And all of a sudden, the NRA and a whole bunch of cash from who knows where, maybe the Russians, who knows, seem to pop up. And here we go, right back to where we started from. And interestingly enough, today, the tweet that got my attention was from Representative Carolyn Maloney, who evidently wrote Secretary Azar to say, hey, we want to know about the CDC's plans to increase the budget to do some research on gun violence. And look, it's about time. Maybe we should be absolutely doing that. And here to share some of his thoughts on one, how crazy things are right now, and two, why we need this research. I've asked Ben Jackson to come talk with us. Ben is a fantastic blogger over at Dad of the Decade. He's also one of the co-founders of the No NRA movement. Ben, thanks for taking time for us.
Thanks so much for having me, Rick. I'm glad to be here.
So, you know, I played that song for a reason because, you know, it, one of those things that, you know, when I think about school shootings, when I think about mass shootings, that's one of the things from when I was younger that, you know, kind of sticks out in my head.
Sure. You know, I think that those of us who are not millennials, right, who can look back at the Columbine shooting almost 20 years ago, 19 years ago now, and remember, you know, what a fundamentally shocking event that was. That nothing like this had happened to us in our history, and we didn't do anything about it. You know, 2 weeks after that horrible event, the NRA went to Denver. I mean, right outside Columbine, and you know, went into this mourning city and said, "We're not going to let you do anything." Right, and for 20 years, we've been having this fight on every single front, every single time that something happens, we don't do anything.
Yeah.
And we don't do anything because they don't let us do it, right?
No, I mean, no, and the other part of this, Ben, the thing that, you know, enrages me is it's not that we don't even do anything, it's that now you've got these horrible people, and I don't really even have a word for how horrible some of these people who are saying, you know, the shooting in Connecticut was a hoax, it was a false flag, they were all crisis actors, and now you've got these people who go and harass the families of the victims, and you go, you know, how did we get here?
Yeah, you know, we saw with NRA, we went to the NRA convention in Dallas about 10 days ago. And with us, we had both a graduate of Parkland, and we had Fred Guttenberg, who lost his daughter Jamie in the Parkland shooting. And some of those people were there. And you know, I don't know how the heck we got there, but I do know the NRA TV in particular contributes to that, right? Where they this idea that every single thing that we try to do where we mention guns, and the mention isn't how do we sell more guns, is met with outright hostility, and not just hostility, but fear, where the NRA is trying to sell fear, that people are coming to take their guns, that what they will call as thugs or gangbangers are going to bang into their house and hurt them, and they need guns everywhere. And so you have these people who in a world where we have very, very divided media hear just this echo chamber, and they hear nothing but fear, and fear breeds stupidity, right? And stupid actions. And I don't know how we got here, but man, are we in a bad spot for it.
Well, I would say we got here because, you know, the NRA flew under the radar for so long, And, you know, we thought, like, when I was a kid, the NRA, you know, taught gun safety courses. They weren't completely crazy yet. I do remember George H.W. Bush saying, you know what, I'm dropping my membership because you guys have gone too far off the beaten path. But they've only gotten crazier and more militant. And this idea that we can't have any discussion about how we deal with guns in various places is insane to me. You know, look, I grew up in a housing project on the west side of Cleveland. When I was a kid, if you saw somebody walking down the street with a gun, somebody was going to die. Run. I live in a neighborhood now where if you see somebody with a gun, maybe they're going to the free shooting range down the road. There's a very different way of looking at how guns are used in different communities and for different purposes. But the NRA won't let us have any of those conversations because having one to them is the slippery slope of taking everything away.
Well, you know, at the end of the day, I honestly don't believe that they believe that. I think that, you know, what it is more than anything for them is that they are a trade association for gun manufacturers masquerading now as a grassroots membership organization. They're such a far cry from what they used to be, where they did teach gun safety, and they'll make that argument that they still do. But more than half of their revenue, and in 2016, that was $400 million plus dollars. I mean, it's not chump change that they take in. And more than half of that comes from gun companies and from related companies. And any time there's any type of discussion in our government about gun control, about tighter regulations, even on really basic things like allowing the police to confiscate temporarily the guns of somebody they believe to be immediately dangerous, like the Waffle House shooter who, like the Parkland shooter, they don't want the police to be able to take those guns from somebody immediately dangerous. And that's something I think we can all agree on is pretty basic preventative safety stuff. You know, you do something dangerous, give us your guns, you go to a judge, the judge says, give them back, or no, this person really shouldn't have them.
Right.
And the NRA won't even let basic stuff like that happen, and it's because when those things happen, they sell fewer guns, right?
Exactly.
At the end of the day, it's all about selling guns, and that's killing us. I mean, it's literally killing us.
Literally. But, you know, here's the thing. I always thought that if you had, like, a domestic violence, you know, conviction or a protection order or something like that, they automatically took your guns. I actually believe that they automatically did it. Evidently, I'm wrong.
Well, so the way that works is that there is, and to be clear, there is federal law that says if you have a domestic violence conviction, you're a prohibited possessor. Or if you have a permanent domestic violence restraining order, that also makes you what's called a prohibited possessor. You can't have, you're not allowed to possess firearms under federal law. But the difficulty is that there is a really dangerous period of time from the time when the incident happens, when the police are brought to somebody's house, say for a domestic violence incident. In the heat of that moment, somebody has called the police and said, there's something wrong here. The police in many places cannot take weapons from that person until that person is either served with a permanent domestic violence restraining order or that person is convicted of domestic abuse. So in that period of time, which in some places could be weeks or even months, that person is allowed to possess their guns even if they've made threats. Right. Even if they said, I'm going to kill this person, if they're out, they can't. In many places, they're still allowed to have their guns. The same is true of stalking. The same is true of threats of school shootings. And the NRA actively works against this. They just campaigned against laws in Tennessee that would allow this to happen where the Waffle House shooting happened. Right. Like there's really, really basic stuff. It's mind-boggling, A, how that isn't law, and B, when you look at how the NRA prevents that from happening, it's a complete perversion of our democracy.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I've had conversations with NRA members, and, you know, some of them are rational. You know, the membership, you know, people who are the members don't seem to be the irrational ones because, you know, everyone that I've talked to is in favor of, you know, more stringent background checks, you know, mental health checks, even trigger locks. And, you know, one of the ones that I found that we actually have the technology for is it's got like a fingerprint sensor to where the only person who can fire the gun is somebody who their print is evidently in it. So that there's like a gun that you only the person who owns it and should be firing it gets to do that. That seems sane and rational to me.
Yeah, it shouldn't be harder to open your iPhone than it is to fire your gun, right? and it's absolutely true that all of these things are things that could happen. And I will say that the NRA and the NRA membership are two different things, right? That the NRA is not serving the interests of its membership, because its membership aren't where it provides, where it gets the majority of its funds. You know, if you poll NRA members, most of them do want improved background checks. Most of them would prefer bans on bump stocks. You know, most of them, many of them even would say, if you can look at assault weapons or things that are easily modified or closing the gun show loophole or all of these really easy things that will save lives, most of the members want that. It's the NRA leadership, right? It's the NRA leadership that is representing the gun companies and not its membership. And, you know, I really hope that the NRA members themselves will do something about it.
Do you think that's possible?
Join us in this movement.
I mean, do you think it's possible?
And, you know what? So the NRA is structured in a way that makes it really hard to do that. They don't publish their bylaws. Only a certain percentage of their members are allowed to vote for their board. You know, you have to be either a lifetime member or a member in good standing for 5 years, which makes it, you know, a financial commitment. Only a small percentage of their board officers are up for election every year. So it makes it really hard to do that, right, from inside the organization. What I would love to see happen is, you know, NRA members join us in this movement, join a different organization, or leave the NRA. Just say, you know what, you don't represent me, and because of what you're doing, people are dying. And we've had these conversations with NRA members. You know, you've had them. We had them in Dallas. Most of those conversations were cordial and even ended with common ground and were friendly. Our issue isn't with the membership. Our issue is with the leadership, who tries to scare their membership about, you know, the mythical gun grabber.
But Ben, you're the no NRA. You're
sure.
Just the messaging alone is you want to take their guns.
No. The messaging is we want to take the NRA's money and our government. We don't. If you look at anything that we've said, all of our tweets, all of our publicly available information.
Yeah, that takes research.
Website,
that takes people.
Members. Yeah,
Ben,
sure.
That takes actually looking into it. What I'm saying is the NRA, I mean, the natural knee-jerk reaction is you're the no NRA. You're anti-NRA. You're anti-gun. Therefore, you're bad.
Sure. But you know what? It's also you're progressive and you're bad. Or, frankly, in most of their membership, you're urban and African-American and you're bad. You know, if you are anybody who is not trying to sell more guns, then you're bad. And, you know, I'm not going to play that game with the NRA, you know. No matter what I say, the problem is the NRA leadership, and the problem is what they spend on politics. And they're not going to, you know, as any threat to that, they're going to fight hard against. And we can no longer ignore that, right? There's nothing else in this country that kills 35,000 people a year, and we try to do more of it. And that's exactly what's happening with guns right now.
Yeah, and the weird thing about it is now they've got somebody even worse than the last guy. I think Ali North is the worst choice, and I think his choice was a thumb in the nose of every liberal, progressive, Democrat person with sane thinking. I think that was done on purpose and deliberately just to enrage and inflame.
For sure. And, you know, I really actually think, and I hope that it has a chance of backfiring on them, because here's the thing, is that the NRA was talking a little bit about some activists who did some pretty stark protesting at Chris Cox's house, who's sort of their head lobbyist. And Ali North said that even in Jim Crow times, we didn't have things like this, right?
Yeah.
He compared protesting against gun violence to an era where we actually had an epidemic of lynching of African Americans, right? That's how far gone this leadership is, and it's disgusting, and it's something that I can't imagine any other membership organization of its size and of its financial prowess in this country being able to have a leader like that and not have them resign. And I say that when I look at the White House and I think maybe we're past that point, right?
No, you're right. But to highlight that, I mean, he called unarmed kids who are just saying, please stop shooting us. He called them terrorists.
Yeah. Yeah, he absolutely did. And you know what? I've met these kids and they are not terrorists. They are the future. They are brilliant and inspiring, and they know more about gun violence than Ali North or Dana Lash or Grant Stinchfield or any of these people. they know it in a way that I hope, I really do seriously mean, I hope, and this is why we're having this fight with the NRA, is that I don't want anyone else to experience that, what these kids experience, what their families know. And they do know better than the NRA about what gun violence looks like. And the NRA should, the leadership should really sit down and listen to them. And instead, they are shooting the messenger instead of listening to the message.
No, I mean, they're attacking them. And not even, it's not even that you're not even paying it. You're not, you ignore them. It's they're actively attacking them. Let me ask you a last line of questioning, because today it came up that Health and Human Services Secretary Alex Azar opened the door to the possibility of expanding the federal gun violence research. I think that's long overdue. I think it's something that we should have been doing all along. You think it's going to happen?
I think it has to. I think that, you know, there is, regardless of the presidency, regardless of the NRA, there is a tremendous upswell in voter interest in gun violence right now. And if you look at, you know, if you Google CDC and things that are killing kids, right? So if you Google CDC and texting and driving, you're going to find a whole list of studies. If you Google CDC and Tide Pods, you're probably going to find stuff. And if you Google CDC and guns, there's nothing. Yeah. There's nothing but a series of stories about why the CDC doesn't fund gun research. And I think that the political pressure that's on the government right now, at least the government that functions like a normal government and not a, you know, banana republic anymore, has to listen. I think that they have to listen, and they have to allow the CDC to examine what is legitimately a public health crisis.
So how do we join the No NRA movement? How do we all get involved?
Great. So anyone who's interested in learning more about us, you can visit us on our website at www.noranow.org. You can follow us on Twitter at NoRA4USA. There's a whole bunch of information about us there. On our website, you can join our mailing list. We are planning our next event, which is going to be coming up in July in Chicago, and more information will be coming on that now. But the best way right now is social media and our website.
There you go. Good stuff. I look forward to talking to you again. Great having you on. I appreciate it.
Sounds good. Thanks so much, Rick.
Good stuff, Ben Jackson. Again, somebody that you certainly want to be following if you're a Twitter fan, if you're on Twitter, most certainly. I'll follow him as well. I'm going to take a quick break. Right back. Stick around. You're listening to The Rick Smith Show. We're working people. Come to talk.
Think of all the roads. Think of all the crossings. Taking steps is easy. Standing still is hard.